And welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces for our third and final segment today. The we being Daisy Maldonado, myself, Peter Goodman. And this half hour, we're going to talk Ren Faire with the director, Kerry Porter, and board member, Dan Lear. So welcome to both of you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
If we were just sitting in Milagro and I'd never heard of a Ren Faire, what would you tell me about it? What is it?
Well, I should probably defer to Dan on this. This has gone on for 54 years, and this is only my second one. So I will defer to Dan about some of the history here.
Well, I can talk about Ren Faires in general or our Ren Faire. But,
talk about ours first.
Okay. Like Kerry said, we've been around for 54 years. It's been in a couple of different locations. Most recently, the last, I think, maybe 20 years or so, they've been at Young Park. It originated at the convent or on south of town. It was the first site, and it was relatively small. And as it's grown over the years and changed, I think the definition of a Ren Faire has changed. We still have a lot of people come in.
We should say Renaissance. I say Ren Faire.
Yeah, I do. We do too.
We should reiterate
Renaissance Fair
for folks who may not be familiar. It's Renaissance Fair, and
which really kind of it's about a specific period of history. But I think that has been expanded in the American version of a Renaissance Fair.
Yeah, some specialize in Elizabethan or in Henry II's time, or more generally, kind of back then.
And I mean, I'll give you an example. We've had people come in astronaut suits and dinosaur suits. So, like I said, the definition or people's interpretation of this, I think it's actually seen more as a fair of celebration rather than a specific time period.
But people do dress up.
And
you have jousting still?
Yes. Oh, yes, definitely. That's probably the main feature. That's one of the things that people – let's put it this way. I believe if we didn't have that, it wouldn't be the same Renaissance Fair.
Right.
That's a real mainstay.
Is that any particular time, Saturday or Sunday, or
– They do two shows each day. I think they're like at 11 – and then another one at 2? 3. Okay, 11 and 3. That's the time when, there are people that time their visit so that they can see one or both of those.
Yeah.
Okay. And they put on a great show. These people are not only good horsemen and everything, they're entertainers.
They joust on horseback.
Okay. And these horses, they're almost, I think some of them might be almost like a Percheron.
Friesian.
Friesian. Okay. Yeah. Huh. So they're big, big horses, much bigger than, let's say, if you were going to go out to a riding place and ride a horse. Those would be trail horses. These are big, big horses. I mean, they could be plow horses. I mean, they're huge. And they're fun to watch because you see this huge animal that is really a very easy, kind animal. I mean, they're not aggressive at all. But that's because the guys riding them, the people riding them, have been doing this for a long time. They're very professional, and it's just fun to watch them. They put on a good show.
Dan, I learned some interesting facts last year when I met the Order of Epona.
Yeah,
all of their horses are mares.
Oh, I didn't know
all
that.
All the horses are mares. The large Frisians, and this year they had baby.
Oh,
there
really?
Is a baby horseback in Colorado Springs, a little foal back there. So I think we're getting three horses this year with the Order of Epona, but not mommy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's at Young Park.
Yes.
And we're not allowed to say prices. So
right.
Don't tell anybody that.
Yeah. They can go to our website if they want to find that out.
Mm-hmm. And tell them again your website.
www.daarts.org, and then you'll be able to go to the menu across the top of the page and scroll down.
That was a lot of letters.
Say
it again slowly, or as part of it, Ren.
I could do it Chicago style. Duh, arts.
Yes.
Yeah, but D A ARTS.org.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So Doniana DA Arts.
Right.
.org.
Mm-hmm. .org. Mm-hmm. Okay. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask if there's anything in particular to look forward to this year.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm sure there's a ton, right? But is there anything new or what are you all looking forward to?
We've been talking. They've started conversations before I got here about, you know, what can we do to make the 54th a little better, or, you know, how do we keep going mm-hmm. forward with this? So a few of the things that I've done over the course of my life is that I lived at the Illinois-Wisconsin state line. So there's a permanent village in Bristol, Wisconsin, where their Ren Faire is. And I've also lived in Tempe, Arizona, and visited the Arizona Ren Faire. So these are big, permanent constructions that open seasonally, and, mm-hmm. and people can tour in and out of them. So they have a level of opportunity that we can't do in a small weekend and the
where everything you put up has to be taken down before Monday morning.
Right.
So the other Ren Faire I recently visited was at Rancho de las Golondrinas in Santa Fe, because I wanted to see a few of our performers and vendors who were at that one, and I wanted to see how they do, because this is similar to ours in that they can do a weekend Ren Faire, but the Rancho de las Golondrinas is a great venue to do it in. And got to meet Order of Epona and talk to the people who will be in Las Cruces and see some of these things that they use there. They have an interesting setup in that there is a fairyland, which is kind of separate from the main stages and the food and some of the art. So that I found interesting, that you come in, you walk around, and then you go down a hill and across a creek, and then you're in fairyland. And that was really amazing. It really set a tone for how they engage children and the artists that are more specific to younger audiences. And that's where I encountered something really strange. And I kept seeing these people wearing mushroom heads.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, what is this? And, you know, lots of fairies, lots of pirates, and it's like, who are these people? So I didn't think anything more about it, except I thought, oh, they're dressing up, you know, everybody dresses up for a Ren Faire. I got back, and a few days later, guy calls me and says, I'm from the Mordekin's Eye Questing Group. And that's who these people are. So what we've done is invited Mordekin's Eye's Questing Group to come and be a part of Ren Faire. And this is a statewide organization where all these folks dress up in these crazy costumes and they go to all the Ren Faires in the state or region. And they have to fulfill all these different levels of quest. And so we've had conversations with the guy in charge. And so they're going to have a little booth where their members are going to find out what they have to accomplish. And it could be, you know, your first assignment is to go feed a lost boy. I saw this at Golondrina's. There's a couple of girls running around with a birthday cake who would need to give a bite of a birthday cake to a lost boy. And so it's those kinds of odd little quirky things. So they want a little idea of, okay, what's going to be at our Ren Faire and how can their members from all over the state of New Mexico come in and fulfill these quest assignments. And so we've got to go see the jousting, or go visit the Queen's Court and get knighted by Queen Misty, or we're having a hand fasting marriage at the Queen's Court on Saturday morning at 11:30. So, you know, go be a member of the wedding, or, you know, cheer on the bride and groom.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the Nordic style where we'll be exchanging.
Or go be on the radio.
Yeah. We've got the live remote. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, this will be the first time we've had a radio station broadcasting it. So we're excited about that.
Oh, yeah. And then
are we.
Oh, yeah. The Brannigan Library's D&D group, the Dungeons & Dragons group, is also going to be on the grounds. And so we're trying to get all these people to kind of talk to each other and realize, okay, where do we meet in the middle? What can we do to share this experience?
There's a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. New belly dancing troupe from El Paso.
And the Maypole.
We've the Maypole.
I think you said new, not nude.
The new.
Just in case anybody out there was getting too excited.
We know what Peter heard.
Well, she does bring a snake.
Boost attendance.
One of them brings a large snake. It might be a ball python or, you know, whatever the more docile large pet snakes
are.
Yes,
let's hope so.
Yeah, and so she'll be dancing with the snake and then the belly dancing troupe.
And the mermaid's coming back.
Yes. Let's see. Her name is Mermaid Jade. She will be in the children's room. But we also have another Jade who's coming in as La Reina Rosa Contacuentos. She's been coming to our gallery on Saturday mornings and doing a bilingual story hour with kids from the neighborhood. Ah. So she's also going to be in the children's realm. She'll be wearing a bright red velvet dress, and she'll be singing and telling stories bilingually. So trying to think. I know it's so much.
Well, yeah,
we should bring her on the radio.
Yes, please.
Let me mention to folks that, because we've been talking about it, we, KTAL, various show hosts and other volunteers, will have a table at the Ren Fair somewhere, and we will be doing a live remote broadcast 10 to 11 on Saturday morning. We'll interview some, I don't know, Dan might come on, but different folks from the Ren Fair.
I'm enough of a ham, I might want to do that.
And other folks and... You, if you walk by, we'll ask you briefly, you know, how you're enjoying it. For somebody who's just going to show up and, you know, see what's out there and hasn't been there before, I mean, there's food.
Mm-hmm. Lots of food.
And is some of it, period food? I mean,
well,
not that it's been around
somewhat.
Since then.
They
but,
try. I mean, you know, the running joke among people who know the history of the European continents and the New World, the Western Hemisphere continents, is that turkey is an indigenous food to the Western Hemisphere.
Right.
And for us to be serving turkey legs at a Ren Fair, I just kind of laugh about that.
But that is one of the things that gets served a lot.
It is. People, we had one year where we didn't have that. And we heard about it.
Oh, interesting.
I had a gentleman say, I drove down here from Albuquerque for a turkey leg and you don't have it.
Yeah.
He was not happy. Yeah. So we always make sure we have at least one vendor.
Oh, there's probably three. Probably
now,
three.
Other vendors, non-food, are there any kind of faux Renaissance time things that people sell?
There's a booth that's going to be selling like wooden swords, for example. If your kid wants a sword,
and a lot of leather goods like vests and shields and stuff like that.
Three
quite
leather
a bit
booths,
of that. Yeah,
and they all do something slightly different.
Mm-hmm.
And pottery, jewelry.
Right.
There's one gentleman whose booth is all butterflies.
That's right.
Yeah. Trying to think of, you know, off the top of my head, because people have been calling and paying their booth fees and asking for where they can be located in the park.
Yes, I think there's going to be 25. Is it 25 food vendors?
Yes. Yeah.
Probably about 70.
80,
other
90.
80 or 90.
Yeah.
One of the things we've done over just actually since Carrie's been here is adding, bringing in more nonprofits to set up booths.
Like us.
Like you, right. Mm-hmm. And since we're a nonprofit, we sort of have an affinity for that. So we always want to bring them in and have them be part of that.
Yeah.
Who else is going to be there with the nonprofit variety?
Oh, let's see. The Southern New Mexico Islamic Center just came in last night and confirmed. Let's see. The Southwest Women's Fiber Arts Collective from Silver City is coming. The Potter's Guild has
a booth.
Sure.
I want to say there's several of the art groups. What I've asked is that if you are a 501c3 and you collectively want to be a part of the Ren Fair, you know, it's a much easier rate to go that way. And, you know, like, for example, the Potter's Guild, they don't even know how much they've got left from empty bowls.
Oh.
So trying to expect an artist to have enough inventory to be at the Ren Fair immediately after a big event like that is really, really big.
Yeah.
So, you know, collectively, they'll have enough to have sufficient inventory to last for a weekend at Young Park.
Mm.
I was just going to say, one of the things that I see as a challenge, Carrie said this is her second year. This is going to be my ninth year. And so one of the things that I've seen is that there's a balance between offering familiar things that everybody is mm-hmm. used to, and they go mm-hmm. to see that one thing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we don't want to be exactly the same every year.
Sure.
And so it's a balance between maintaining the traditional, you know, the ones that we know are going to be successful, plus maybe trying some new stuff that we've never done before.
Mm-hmm.
That's always a little bit of a challenge, but also that's what makes it fun planning. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if it was the same thing every mm-hmm. year, everybody would get bored. And so we want to make it more interesting every year.
Well, we have a performer who's coming in actually doing a Friday night concert.
Yes.
Her name is Celia Farron, and she has been to Las Cruces several times. I've seen her perform, and she's really engaging. It's a Celtic-style music. Mm-hmm. She dresses really flamboyantly, and she plays guitar and other instruments, but she uses one of those multi-recorders where you sing into it, tap it with your foot, and it'll play and it'll play. Then she'll layer sound on it. So here's a single performer who ends up, you know, sounding incredible. She sings harmony. She plays the, you know, instrument or, you know, adds rhythm. And then, you know, two or three verses in, it sounds like a full choir and orchestra. It's really quite phenomenal. So she's going to be Friday night for our impromptu concert. We've been trying to launch this. And, you know, where is
that also out there?
It's going to be on the main stage.
Yep, mm-hmm. yep. And we've been talking to the Inn of the Mountain Gods mobile kitchen, mm-hmm. the Iron Arrow Grub and Grill. They're going to provide the food that for Friday night's concert. You know, you pay for your dinner, but, you know, they're going to be there on site. And then Celia is going to perform on the main stage in Young Park. So it sounds like it's all coming together really well.
Yeah. That's actually something we've talked about for a couple of years. But, you know, it's one of those things where we get into September and go, oh, it's too late. We're going to have to do it next year.
Yeah. Well, I'm curious just about the location, because everything that you're naming, it sounds like maybe you're growing out of the location, or is Young Park can still have capacity?
It's a 22-acre park, and we don't use it all. But, that being said, you know, we have remote parking at the mall, and Dan helps get the buses.
Yep,
and
the school district is providing a couple of buses to transport people back and forth.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
Yep. So if you can't park right there close by, you know, it's an easy you go to the Mesilla Valley Mall, the bus picks you up, drops you off right at the front gate.
Yeah.
So that's very convenient. We've got all kinds of volunteers from the university, some high school groups.
Mm-hmm.
I got to call the boss people at White Sands Missile Range last year. They were very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And who else is coming?
Do we have anybody from Burrell?
Oh, I don't. Karen's handling it.
Okay.
So Karen Conley is our logistician, and she brings in a lot of order and makes a lot of creates a lot of support for us. She and Jim Vornberg have been working on the list and creating the map this year. So my apologies to everyone who came last year, because that was something we never got put together. And this year it's going to be amazingly orderly.
Yeah. The last year the map issue was a little bit of an issue, so we're making sure we're doing it right this year.
Yes. Yeah.
So there'll be a map.
A digital map.
Digital.
Oh, digital.
Yeah.
So you point your camera or your phone at the QR code, and it'll bring up a digital. We will have
big paper maps at a couple of locations in case people are not tech savvy enough to do that.
Right.
So.
Yep.
Good.
So the Renaissance Fair is going digital.
a little. Yeah.
Actually, one of the things that we talked about, but I'm hoping we can do it in the future, is that we've talked about having some Dragon drones.
Oh, interesting.
We just haven't got that. We haven't got that done yet, but I thought that would be a fun thing to do, to have some little dragons flying around the park.
Does Bob Divin still provide a dragon? He used to.
No, he used to.
So We have to talk a little bit about this, but not reveal all the secrets. So in the past, you know, Magellan has been kind of the mascot for the Run Fair. And more recently, he's taken up residence in the castle, so to speak, at the county courthouse. And he's become increasingly difficult to move. And so what we've decided this year is to introduce a new mascot. And it's very we're keeping tight wraps on it.
Yes,
you got to show up to find out.
Yes,
there is a telephone that exists. Okay, but not anything about it.
There'll be one.
Oh, we have a caller, I guess.
Oh, good. Yes, so that's when you put the earphones on. Headphones. So, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Goodman and Donione Arts Council, Gregory Shervanik. First of all, I would like to show my appreciation and the neighborhood of Lee's Drive for 54 years of a successful event with the community here on Lee's Drive. But in transparency, I spoke to the Parks Board in October and asked for some slightly heavier safety concerns with blocking off the intersections of Nevada and Lee's Drive and the intersection of Colorado and Lee's Drive. Being that your encampment is on the west side of the park and enters in a very tight, narrow gate area, we're suggesting that you have your participants use Maple off of Colorado and New Mexico, which would give them a direct access to the west side, so they don't have to turn into traffic if Colorado and Nevada are blocked off. I made these comments. They're in the minutes. I hope this year the city will take this on as a priority. I've also asked them to increase public transportation, which is free, from the downtown area up Nevada as they planned to your site. For the convenience and access of a greater public. I thank you very much for your time this morning.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I think quite a bit of the traffic control is really up to the city because it's all city things. Actually, some maybe his suggestions might be good suggestions, but I would strongly suggest that he contact the city.
It sounds like he did. Yeah, in public comment, but would be.
Yeah, you know, I think
if you're still listening, send me a copy of what you just said. And
I do know that the Parks Department is actually going to have a booth themselves in the park and talk about their master plan for Young Park. We've heard rumors about increasing electricity and Wi-Fi ports, et cetera. So, you know, they'll be there themselves if anybody wants to see what plans they're proposing for Young Park and, you know, public input on what the city can do to serve its residents.
What have we not covered about, other than more details about the mascot?
Oh, God.
The secret mascot.
Yep, the secret mascot.
Is he, she or it big or small?
Pretty big.
Big. Yes, it's going to be big. And I think we'll get our first view of our mascot in the noon parade during the Saturday, you know, and Saturday and Sunday at noon each day. The Royal Court takes a parade throughout the park, and you're going to meet our mascot at that time.
Right.
Well, I'll look forward to it. What else? We only have a minute or so, but what have we not said that we should have told folks?
Well, I think what I what I'd like to let people know is, number one, we really want them to attend. I mean, if they longtime visitors, please come back. A lot of the things that will still be there. But if you've never been, I would strongly suggest you give it a try. It's relatively inexpensive, and it's a great community event. Typically, when we have people come, it's one of those things where if it's their first time, one of the things we typically hear when they leave is, we'll be back next year. This was fun.
Yeah.
And so we're looking forward to that. The other thing is that one of the things – I've been on the board now for like 10 years. It's probably about time for me to leave. But one of the things I would tell people, if they're really interested in this and everything, contact us about being part of our board. We've brought a couple of new people on, and I will tell you, it's refreshing to have some new ideas. And it's nice to have people kind of maybe even challenge us and say, why, how come we're not doing this? Or why don't we do this? And
we're having that experience right now on KTAS.
Well, that's
board.
Great. I think that's healthy for an organization, you know, to have new ideas and new people in there and maybe challenging what we do and how we do it.
Yep. And we also, this year, next year we'll be back to our regular first weekend. But this year we did shift the weekend to the 8th and 9th.
Right. November 8th and 9th of November.
Yes.
The Renaissance Fair at Young Park. We, KTAL, will be there too. So come and say hello to us.